I've got, you know, about a quarter century of experience working within healthcare. But my latter years in the industry was handling financial communications and serving as a spokesman for my company. I had to know how these companies make money because I was dealing with reporters at the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and Bloomberg and Dow Jones on a daily basis. They wanted to know about how much money the company was making, and I had to know that, and I had to know how they made it, and I had to know what their practices are. And that's how I got my education in health insurance and why I know what I know about these companies. And I frankly just got so disillusioned and ultimately disgusted with what I was doing. When I was a journalist, my goal was to try to report the truth and to educate my readers, who were people who would read my stories, and to try to inform them and to be as unbiased and as forthcoming as possible. But I realized toward the end of my career in PR in the insurance industry that I was doing the exact opposite of that many times. I was not disclosing full information. I was, in many cases, thereby misleading people. I got pretty disgusted with what I was doing for a living.
Do you have a specific example, maybe, the first thing that came to mind?
You know, what really got me thinking about this was the fact that my company and every other insurance company is really trying to move more and more of us into high deductible plans, and part of my job was to persuade the public that this was good for everybody, that including people of modest means, that people should have more, as we called it, skin in the game to have more of an understanding of the cost of health care. That was the justification for moving people into these so-called consumer-directed plans, which, of course, is a euphemism. I knew from my own research that these are not good plans for people who don't have a lot of money, people who are of modest means, and that includes most of, you know, the median household income in this country is just barely $50,000. So a family that's earning $50,000, if they're in a plan with a high deductible, they're going to face bankruptcy or foreclosure. And I have talked to a lot of people who have lost their homes and have had to declare bankruptcy because they have been in these kinds of plans. They think they've got adequate coverage and they don't. And when I came to that understanding, I just couldn't in good conscience keep doing this and keep saying that this is good for this country.
Right.
So I left, and since then I've been an advocate for consumer protections and for meaningful reform and for broadening access to health care for people who don't have it and haven't had it because, again, of those practices of the health insurance industry.
But you want to talk a little bit about these practices that you've observed?
Yeah, the status quo is very profitable for health insurance companies. And these policies, these practices have evolved over the years. And there is no incentive from within the industry to change because it is very profitable, such as refusing to sell coverage to people who've been sick in the past, who have what the industry calls pre-existing conditions, and canceling coverage of people when they get sick. And purging, a term that the insurance companies actually use, purging their small business accounts when an employee or a dependent gets sick because insurance companies don't want to pay the medical bills. And this is one of the reasons I came to understand why we have 45 million Americans now who don't have insurance. And it's not because those folks don't want to have coverage. It's because for most of them, they can't either afford to pay for premiums or they've been blackballed by the insurance industry. The insurance companies turn down about a third of all the applicants of people who apply in what's called the individual market, people who can't get coverage through the workplace. And that's wrong. And we need to fix those kinds of things.
What the Affordable Care Act tries to do is eliminate these unfair practices.
That's right. And that's why I think Americans need to know a lot more about what this law does. And, in fact, almost every poll shows that when people are told what actually the law does to protect them, they're very supportive. They just have been led to believe that it does things that it does not do. And so that's why you see that a lot of people currently, even still, even though it's been the law of the land for 3 years, are confused about it and say that they don't support it. And another reason is because there has not been, I don't think, a very good job of explaining the law by those who were involved in passing it, and including the Obama administration and healthcare reform advocates. They just really haven't had, to a certain extent, at least the advocates haven't, the resources to do it. And it's become such a very politicized issue that you have people largely in two camps, that it's good or that it's not good.
Yeah, and, you know, that kind of conversation really doesn't add much. You know what I mean? It's just when there's two extremes.
It doesn't add much. And, in fact, it leaves people confused. They don't really know who to believe. And that's what I'm trying to do when I go from place to place, is to lay out what really is in the law and what it tries to do. And I take people back to an understanding of why we had to have reform in the first place, and to remind people that when the debate on healthcare reform began, a large majority of Americans supported reform because they knew that the healthcare system was in really bad shape. Costs are going out of control. And when you've got 50 million Americans not able to get insurance, they have to worry, am I going to be next? Am I going to be among that group this time next year? So people were worried. But it's become so politicized that people don't know, in many cases, that it's still the law. Many people think it's either been repealed or declared unconstitutional. So I try to bring a level of awareness and to talk. It would have been better if we could have done more to address health care costs than the law does, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. And what do you know, you had a good, an awesome informative blog post recently about how, well, I don't know if it's recently, I think it's probably a little older, but just about how Obamacare would introduce more competition, which would, you know, benefit consumers. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well?
That's right. And that's another thing I want people to come to understand, that it actually will foster competition, and it actually preserves the system of private insurance companies in this country in ways that are really important for people who support private insurance companies or want to have the option of buying coverage for private insurance companies and to have a choice. Most of us, if we stop to think about it, don't have much of a choice when it comes to buying insurance. If we get it through the workplace, we usually get whatever our companies or our employers say that we'll have. We don't have a choice. We don't get a vote to choose it. And those of us who buy it at the individual market often have very limited choices. In most states, there are one or two big health insurance companies that dominate. The Affordable Care Act, through the insurance exchanges or marketplaces that will be up and running on October the 1st, will bring a lot more competition to the health insurance world. So we'll have a lot more choice, and not only that, we'll be able to compare one health plan with another in ways we haven't before. They'll be required to provide information to us in standard language, in plain language we haven't had before. So I think that, in combination with help from these navigators, will help people understand what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. And I guess just going back to like very silly economic basics maybe, but you know, you mentioned a lot about, you know, Obamacare is going to introduce a lot of competition to insurance. And do you want to, I guess, elaborate a little more on why competition is good for consumers?
Well, it's actually Republican theory. Mm-hmm. And the exchanges are a came out of Republican public policy as another big, you know, important part of the law that will take effect in January the 1st, which is the requirement that if we don't have insurance and we can't get it through the Medicare or Medicaid programs, then we have to buy it. Both that and the exchanges are straight out of Republican public policy in years past. So the whole the free market system is one that, in some circumstances, probably can work with adequate regulation. And that's what the Affordable Care Act does bring to the insurance marketplace, is the appropriate level of regulation so that these companies can't get away with gouging customers or refusing to sell coverage to people who really need it. But it will also foster competition. So, and we're already seeing that that is actually working. So this Republican idea is actually working some, and the early evidence of it. One example is coming out of Oregon. That is a state that has just recently published what the preliminary rates are going to be for those insurers that participate in this exchange. And when those insurers saw what their competitors were going to be charging, some of those that were at the high end said they were going to resubmit bids so that they were more in line with the lower cost competitors. So that's huge. That is an enormous benefit to consumers. And we've never had that kind of transparency and competition before.
Right. And I guess there's kind of like a big campaign maybe from the insurance companies saying that, oh, this is actually going to increase rates.
And it's coming from the insurance industry because the motive here is to try to get people to be afraid of reform and to get them to think that these consumer protections are not in their best interest. It's deception is what it is. The reason they're doing this is because they want Congress or state lawmakers to try to change the law as it's being implemented to benefit insurance companies to scuttle some of these consumer protections. And they're trying to make the claim through their scare campaign that insurance rates will go up because of these consumer protections. It's not true. But they've got a lot of money to put behind these campaigns, and a lot of people are believing it. But actually, they're being proven wrong already, like what we're seeing in Oregon and other states that are disclosing how much the insurers are going to be charging in their states, and it's just not holding up.
You also had another blog about just the loopholes that exist in the Affordable Care Act and how the insurance companies are going to try to exploit that. Do you want to share a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, when you write a law, it can't be, I guess, as watertight as you wish it would be. And insurance companies and other special interests hire teams of lawyers to go over every word in a new law, looking for loopholes and to try to avoid offering treating their customers the way that Congress intended. And they're finding out apparently that in some circumstances they can sell policies to small businesses and avoid the consumer protections that the law intended. So they're trying to get away with this. I don't think they can get away with it because I think the awareness of their efforts will lead to some regulations at the federal level, maybe the state level, that will keep them from doing that. But their intention is to circumvent the law, to sell policies to small businesses in particular that are intended to be outlawed because the coverage is so skimpy.